Hello and welcome to the Food Connections podcast, the podcast that connects you with the food you eat. I'm Dr. Laura Wyness, a registered nutritionist and one of Scotland's regional food tourism ambassadors. I'm interested in all things related to food and nutrition, and I love learning more about the food we eat, how it's made, and getting to know the people involved in making our food. This episode is extra exciting for me, and I hope it is for you too. I'm going to be chatting with fellow registered nutritionist Suzanne Fletcher, founder of Nutrition Scotland. I've been working with Suzanne over the past several months on a very exciting piece of work. We are very excited to share that with support from Scotland Food and Drink, we've developed the Scottish Eat Well Guide. It's the first ever Scottish version of the UK's Eat Well Guide. And in this episode, myself and Suzanne will share more details of how we came to work on this project and what we hope it provides. We'll also chat about what the Eat Well Guide is and what makes the Scottish Eat Well Guide so distinct. There's also details on where you can get a copy of the Scottish Eat Well Guide and ways you can use this resource. I hope you enjoy listening. So welcome to Food Connections podcast. And this is actually quite a special episode where we're going to talk about the Scottish Eat Well Guide, which is something I've been working on with Suzanne Fletcher from Nutrition Scotland for a while. So Suzanne is with me today. How are you?
Hi, Laura. Thank you for having me.
Great to be here in Glasgow for a change.
Yeah, it's great to welcome you here to Glasgow. We're in Govan and at Nutrition Scotland headquarters, which you've not been to before. So it's great to show you around.
It's really nice, actually, and managed to find it not too difficult. Well, a little bit. I actually did get lost on the way here. I have to be truthful on that, but I always get lost in Glasgow. But yeah, here eventually. And yeah, really interesting to see the offices. So, I mean, we have worked together for a while. We've known each other for quite a few years now. But Suzanne, do you want to share a little bit about yourself and what you do at Nutrition Scotland?
So Nutrition Scotland is a social enterprise. Our aim is basically to improve diet-related health and to reduce health inequalities. And we do this through training, education, and practical skills development. Most of our work is in the community. We do a lot of work for NHS and we deliver accredited qualifications such as RHIS, Food Hygiene, Food and Health, and soon RS, Royal Society of Public Health Nutrition courses too.
Excellent. So you're kept busy then, basically.
We are very, very busy and we're a very small team. There's basically myself and Vittoria Marinello, who's my colleague. So yeah, a very small team and very, very busy.
Yeah, very efficient and productive with your time and everything that you do. So I guess for listeners, my background, in case you don't know, as well as public health nutrition, and I've done a lot of work in academia and communicating the science and some food innovation and nutrition policy work. I've been freelance nutritionist now for 8 years and doing one-to-one nutrition consultations, but my kind of passion has always been public health nutrition and growing up on a farm, which I think you did as well, Suzanne.
I did. Yeah. I grew up on a small holding. So yeah, and I think same, that's where I got my interest and ended up becoming a public health nutritionist. It's good to think maybe things that we took for granted growing up on farms, the connection between where your food comes from.
Yeah, I think that's really important because I think it's really interesting living on a farm and understanding where the food comes from and the hard work that goes into producing food. Mm-hmm. You actually see it firsthand, which, yeah, was a great insight. I found the kind of whole food story, where it comes from, how it's produced, and also the nutrition side of things, which is what I think what we're both interested in as well, the public health side of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we ended up working on this Scottish Eat Well Guide. So maybe if I'd just explain how that came around, because we've worked on a number of projects previously together. Mm-hmm. So it was part of my role as Food Tourism Ambassador, which I started in 2021. I was picked to be one of the 23 regional Food Tourism Ambassadors across Scotland, which is a new kind of initiative from Scotland Food and Drink and Scottish Food Tourism Alliance. It's a voluntary role for 2 years to help raise Scotland's profile as a global food destination. So there's a mix of ambassadors. We came from all different backgrounds, from some were chefs and food producers or independent retailers or drink experts and food writers and agritourism operators. So there's a really nice mix of ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And each of us basically got a free rein to kind of do a project that would help promote Scotland as a kind of global food destination and help the food industry. So the projects I did as my role of food ambassador, one is the Food Connections podcast, actually. It helped me establish this podcast, which I hope you're all enjoying. And the other project I chose to do, which I thought would be useful to help raise the profile of Scottish food, would be to develop a Scottish version of the UK's Eat Well Guide, which I kind of naively thought would be fairly straightforward to do, but I soon realised it was not. So I contacted Suzanne, explained to her, and luckily you were on board with helping out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a fantastic project. I thought it was a really exciting project from the start. And it's amazing to see it's actually come to fruition now.
I know, it's been a lot of work in the development, which we'll talk about in a bit. But I suppose maybe, Suzanne, do you want to first of all explain what the Eat Well Guide is? Because as nutritionists, I suppose we're quite familiar with the Eat Well Guide or the Eat Well Plate. But for those not working in public health or education, perhaps you might not have heard of the Eat Well Guide before. So do you want to kind of explain what it is?
Yeah, so the UK Eat Well Guide is a government tool that's used to show the different food groups and the variety and the proportions of certain foods that we need to have a healthy, balanced diet. And it also includes foods which sit outside the circle of the five main food groups, which show foods that are not necessarily required for our bodies to thrive, but they're foods that we might enjoy and can also contribute to a healthy, balanced diet. So yeah, it's a tool that we use mainly for education and just to help to educate people to understand what those food groups are and the proportions that we should be eating them in.
Excellent. And obviously it's a tool, I mean, you've said you've used it in your cooking community classes, is that right?
Yeah, so we deliver training, REHIS food and health training. So REHIS is Royal Environmental Health Institute of Scotland. So we do food and health training and just in our day-to-day, outside of that, we might use it on the courses, but also we do community cooking training and work with various groups on various different interventions and programmes. And we would use the UK Eat Well Guide as a tool just to describe, to help people to understand what a healthy, balanced diet looks like. And it's used really to describe what somebody's diet ideally should look like over a period of, you know, let's say a week or something. It's not necessarily what your plate should look like. So it just helps people to visualize and understand the foods that should be included.
Yeah, and the kind of right proportions, roughly. So it's, as I say, it's a guide. It's not to be taken literally. There are now different versions of the Eat Well Guide available. So there's the vegan one and...
Yeah, there's a vegan, there's a vegetarian. I think they all started off, was it the South Asian Eat Well Guide?
Yeah, I don't know which one came first or which version, but yeah, there's a South Asian version and African and Caribbean one, I think, as well.
Yeah, and I think these are really important variations. Certainly in our work, we're working with so many different nationalities and some of the foods are not always familiar to other cultures. So it's really good to see that these adaptations to the UK Eat Well Guide have been developed, showing foods that are recognisable to all the different cultures.
Yeah, which is exactly why we kind of thought, why is there not a Scottish Eat Well Guide version yet? Because there's many foods that are naturally grown in Scotland or produced in Scotland, so hopefully a bit more familiar to people living in Scotland.
This has really come about with some of our courses that we're delivering, where we're talking to other third sector organisations, people that work within those, but also just showing it out to the general communities that we've been working in. And the feedback that we've had has actually been fantastic, because a lot of the people that we might work with are not familiar with some of the Scottish vegetables, for example, and don't know how to cook them. And part of our work is doing these cooking classes, and we include always healthy, always affordable foods for these classes. And so it's been really well received in terms of people understanding how we might use some of the local vegetables, for example. Yeah, so it's been a great educational tool, and for also the people that are engaging with those groups in their own third sector organizations, it's allowed them to have these conversations and to show people the different vegetables and fruits that are available and to start those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it's a good tool to, yeah, as I say, start those conversations and help people be more aware of just all the healthy food that is actually available locally and grown locally in their area in Scotland. Because I think people do want to eat healthily. There was a recent report that did show that people living in Scotland, 90% of them said that it's important to eat healthy food. And certainly last year's consumer attitude survey of adults in Scotland found that a quarter of people said it was very important for them to have a healthy diet, and more than half said it was quite important. So it's eaten in a healthy, balanced way.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I do think people are very much aware of what healthy foods look like. We do a lot of work with young people and children, and they can very much tell you what are healthy foods and what are not healthy foods. A lot of the time, I think sometimes it can come down to availability and affordability, a lot of the groups that we work with. And yeah, we've tried to incorporate that, as it's in the UK Eat Well Guide as well. We've tried to show that in the Scottish Eat Well Guide by showing, you know, that canned and frozen fruits and vegetables or tinned fish, for example, these are very affordable and also contribute to a healthy, balanced diet.
So with the UK Eat Well Guide and the Scottish Eat Well Guide, shall we chat through some of the differences or similarities? I mean, I guess, first of all, just to point out, the dietary advice and principles of the UK Eat Well Guide and the Scottish Eat Well Guide are very similar. So as you mentioned before, the proportions of the different food groups are all the same, and the messages around healthy eating, they all remain the same. So yeah, I guess what are the differences then? Let's have a chat about them. The differences are mainly within the food groups, with different food items being shown. So should we start with maybe the fruit and vegetable section?
Yes, my favourite section. I love this. It's lovely. It's colourful and shows a huge variety of fruits and vegetables that, and obviously this doesn't include everything that is available in Scotland. But yeah, I love the graphic that we've got here showing all those lovely colours representing all those different vitamins and minerals.
And it was really difficult trying to pick which fruit and veg to put in. Obviously, as you say, we couldn't put everything in, but we've got a variety of colours. And also frozen, we've got the frozen raspberries and can of peas, just to show that, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's fresh, frozen, canned, that they're all nutritious and can all fit in that kind of section, in the fruit and veg section.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important message for us to put in here as well, because yeah, it's not always affordable. We've got a lovely section showing all the berries here that are available in Scotland, but you know, that's not always affordable for people that are on low income. And so having these in there, that's a really important message to show that, you know, they don't have to be fresh berries. You can have these frozen ones. You can have tinned fruit and vegetables as well, which are equally healthy.
Yeah. So hopefully it gives people a few ideas on what to try out. The next section, well, the starchy carbohydrate section and whole grains. So we do have quite a lot of oats in this section, which probably doesn't come as a surprise. We do like our oats in Scotland. And we do have a range of oat products. And oats come in many forms, from pinhead oats, rolled oats, oat bran that can be used in different ways. And of course, oats are really nutritious and healthy, great source of soluble fibre. And affordable as well. Mm-hmm, so,
absolutely.
Yeah. But apart from oats, we do have other things. We've got barley as well, which, again, really heart healthy grain, and beer meal barley or beer meal flour is also featured.
Yeah, which I'd never heard of this, to be perfectly honest. So that was an education for me. That's what I like about it. We've got, you are learning about different foods that are produced in Scotland, which, yeah, maybe lesser known as well. So it's great to have this included.
Yeah, and it's worth seeking out. I mean, it's not that common, or you don't see it that often in shops, but it's, yeah, it's worth trying the beer meal flour in cooking, or it's got a, well, can find out for yourself. It's a nuttier flavour, I think, slightly stronger flavour. But
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had the pasta conversation well. So we have included pasta on here as well. We found out about some producers have grown wheat in Scotland. So I think that's why we included.
Yeah, because I mean, we wanted to hopefully inspire people on different foods. So technically, you could use wheat flour at home to make your own homemade pasta. And I know there's lots of different types of foods and cuisines. So it's really about giving people ideas on how to use these base ingredients in different formats and how it fits into the diet.
And the potatoes. Let's not forget the potatoes.
How can I forget the potatoes? Growing up in a potato farm as well. Yeah, so the tatties or the potatoes, absolutely. Of course, new potatoes or potatoes all year round, basically, and eaten in many different ways.
Absolutely, yeah. And my favourite fact, full of vitamin C.
They are, yeah, a great source of vitamin C in the diet.
Absolutely, yeah. I always bring that into our courses. I'm well known for that.
Big potato fan.
Yes.
And then we've got the protein section, which is kind of beans, fish, eggs, meat and other protein foods.
Yeah, this was an interesting section, wasn't it? It took a while to put together, but yeah, it shows a great variety of incredible produce that's available in Scotland, actually. Shall we start with the seafood?
Scottish seafood is pretty big.
Absolutely, and just incredible. And yeah, so we've got showing the different fish there, the well-known salmon and some, well, we represented the white fish, just a general kind of fish, didn't we, for the white fish on there on the plate, but includes all sorts of different types.
Yeah, different types of fish, the oily fish, white fish, and then the seafood. So, I mean, but there's so many different things we could have put on here, but we've put mussels and langoustine. So,
love them. And the other thing I love, this had to go on. I did enforce this tinned mackerel.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm known for. I mean, what is better than some wholemeal bread with the tinned mackerel, preferably spicy tomato? That's my favourite. Really affordable. I love that. And we had to put that on here again. And to find that actually it is canned in Scotland. So even finding this out was a revelation, indeed.
Yeah. It's always worth checking the label to see where the source of the food comes from, and also check the MSC logo about the sustainability of the fish that you're buying. That's a good point to kind of note as well.
Very good point. Yeah, yeah. See where it's coming from. So I guess that, yeah, the chicken leg, that went through a few iterations.
Yeah, trying to make it look like a chicken leg.
We got there in the end.
And of course, we've got red meat as well. So red meat and venison, which is distinctly Scottish.
Absolutely.
And very good source of iron and vitamin B12. And of course, we've got wild and farmed deer in Scotland, and they're very ecologically friendly type of meat as well. If you want to know more about it, actually check out the previous podcast I did on venison and deer farming. But yeah, really good, very lean meat to include. And obviously it is quite expensive, relatively expensive meat, but we're not suggesting that you have it every day, certainly not. And as part of a balanced diet, meat can be part of a healthy, balanced diet, obviously with health and sustainability in mind. You want to kind of limit that to maybe 3 times max a week and not have too big portions of it. But yeah, it's highly nutritious, very nutritional dense food.
Yeah, and I guess that's the message, isn't it? Focusing on quality rather than quantity. We could all perhaps reduce our meat intake a little bit and focus more on eating quality meats rather than...
And I guess as nutritionists, we're always trying to promote the plant proteins more, which actually was probably quite a challenge for this section, to be honest, because in the Eat Well guide in the UK version, there's soya and lentils and chickpeas and those types of things, which don't really grow commercially anyway in Scotland yet. Although you might be surprised to hear that we do grow fava beans really well in Scotland. And again, I've got a podcast on that if you want to check that out, talking about pulses and beans. Yeah, and obviously a great source of protein and general all-round nutrition, good fibre source as well. So it's a well-rounded kind of nutritional profile that they provide. we probably should eat more beans and lentils in our diet. So it's great to have the fava beans or broad beans in that section.
Yeah, I guess we were both a bit disappointed in the lack of plant-based proteins that we could add in that section. And hopefully that will increase in the future. It was, like you say, great to get the fava beans on there, the broad beans. And there's a story about the canned beans, isn't there?
Yeah, well, potentially in future, if you check out the podcast on beans, I was speaking to Pete Dinetta from James Hutton Institute, and they've been doing a lot of work on fava beans potentially being a very good bean, very similar to the Pines baked beans. You know, the fava beans can make a very good canned bean and a kind of tomato sauce. So hopefully we will see Scottish produced fava beans, baked beans and tomato sauce soon.
Wouldn't that be great?
Or maybe a kind of curry sauce, who knows?
Yeah.
For a Scottish twist. So yeah, so that's the protein section. So let's talk about the dairy and alternative section now. Mm. And in this, we've got a few different items. We've got dairy, milk, and a milk alternative being oats, because we do like our oats, don't we?
More oats, yeah. And yeah, we've added in an oat drink in there. And yeah, important to say that it's fortified. We've got quite large words over that to say that it's a fortified plant-based drink. So important to get fortified versions so that you're replacing any vitamins and minerals that might be lost through not drinking dairy products.
Yeah. And we've also got some cheese. So it was quite difficult to choose which cheese, but we went for cheddar cheese and also a crowdie, a lower fat crowdie, which is nice, fresh, very tasty cheese produced in Scotland, and yogurt as well, some plain natural yogurt, which of course is a fermented dairy product, so very healthy for your gut microbiome.
Yeah, goes beautifully with the wonderful berries.
Absolutely,
grown, yeah, in Scotland.
And then we've got a tiny section, a tiny wedge of oils and spreads. So in that we've got cold pressed rapeseed oil and vegetable oil and lower fat spreads. So I think many people are maybe aware of the health benefits of extra virgin olive oil, but maybe fewer are aware of just the beneficial heart protective properties of oil from rapeseed, which is grown very well in Scotland, the big kind of fields of yellow flowers.
Yes, we talk a lot in our courses about extra virgin olive oil and it being monounsaturated fat, so it's very heart healthy. But actually rapeseed oil is also a monounsaturated fat and very heart healthy and much more affordable in many cases.
Yeah, and many different uses as well. So I mean, it's called cold pressed rapeseed oil, but you can use it in cooking or in when you're stir frying or cooking foods, or on salad dressings, or even in bacon. It can replace some of the butter, which is higher in saturated fats. So we replace some of the butter with cold pressed rapeseed oil and it produces a kind of healthier baked cake or whatever you're baking.
Yeah.
So it can be
and
really
actually,
useful.
If you go into a lot of the supermarkets and it just says vegetable oil on the packaging, if you look on the back, you'll see that a lot of those oils are actually rapeseed oil.
Yeah, so check the back of the pack to see. So that's the general circle, all the wedges talked about. And on the outside of the circle, we've also got a few different messages. One of them, which we're very keen to include, was the reminder to take a vitamin D supplement, which I think is really important. And a lot of people are still maybe not taking it, and it's such an important vitamin to take because it's a sunshine vitamin, or it's also known as, and we don't really get that much sunshine, particularly in the winter months, at the right wavelength for us to make vitamin D from the action of sunlight on your skin. So really important to take a supplement all year round in Scotland.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that differs with the UK Eat Well Guide, as having included this, but just kind of highlighting the importance and that recommendation that people should consider taking it year round, a really important vitamin to think about.
Yeah. And also around the plate, we've got a small group of eat less often foods and enjoy occasionally foods. So again, this kind of differs from the UK Eat Well Guide, which is just the one kind of grouping of foods. But we felt that we needed to create a different category for some of those very much loved and well-known Scottish foods like haggis and shortbread and black pudding. Yeah. So they've now got their specific category of enjoy occasionally. So let's just kind of clarify what we mean by those two groups. So the eat less often and in small amounts group, which includes things like sauces and tea cakes and tablets, which is a kind of traditional Scottish treat, maybe.
And fizzy drinks.
And fizzy drinks, yeah. So these are generally high in fat, salt and or sugars, and basically provide little or no nutritional value. So we're saying that, I mean, there's no good or bad food, but these should be eaten less often in small amounts. And then the enjoy occasionally category, which we've got things like haggis, black pudding, shortbreads, and some pies. These foods do provide a few key nutrients, but also tend to be high in unhealthy fats, salt, and or sugars. So it's worth checking the label and, as I say, enjoying these, but occasionally. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. This was a tricky area again, wasn't it, to think about when we were developing this guide, but really important to include these foods. You can't have the Scottish Eat Well guide without having haggis and black pudding
exactly.
on there. So, and yeah, absolutely. Yeah, enjoy them. Enjoy them occasionally. Like I say, they can absolutely form part of a healthy, balanced diet.
Yeah, and very tasty too.
Super tasty.
So that is the Scottish Eat Well guide. I guess we're hoping it can be, it's a freely available tool for people to use in whatever setting or however you want to use it. I mean, through the development of the Scottish Eat Well guide, we have been testing it out in different groups and, as I say, had really good feedback so far. So it could be a tool that could be used in educational settings, community food groups, and hopefully help stimulate discussion and just help inspire people or inform people of different foods. We've got the Good Food Nation Bill currently being discussed at the moment, so perhaps it's a good discussion tool for that, even food producers and food tourism sites highlighting just the range of local foods that are available and, yeah, inspiring people to help seek out more local foods.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Yeah, just hoping to inspire people.
Yeah. So what would be your kind of final thoughts, Suzanne?
Yeah, how do we sum it up?
Yeah.
Final thoughts. Well, I don't know. I mean, food, it's just such a great tool that helps people and cultures connect. We see this every day in our work. We've had such a positive response from it that we just hope that continues. We hope that people working with their own groups find it a useful tool to start those conversations and talk about the amazing variety of nutritious foods that we have available locally. And yeah, just really to encourage those discussions, and it can bring about chats about affordability and the convenience of buying certain foods, and stimulate some discussions around environmental impact of our food system.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I think I really hope it helps break that kind of past perception that Scottish cuisine is unhealthy. And because we do have such a great, amazing larder of tasty and nutritious produce grown in Scotland that can absolutely fit into a healthy and balanced diet. So yeah, we hope that it will be a useful tool for lots of people. So where to find it if you want more information? There's a little bit of information on my website. Certainly head over to that. And if you want a high-res version to print off of the Scottish Eat Well Guide, then Nutrition Scotland. What's your website, Suzanne?
Yeah, so as it nutritionscotland.org.
Excellent. So yeah, you can download the high-res version from there. And please do share your thoughts on the Scottish Eat Well Guide. Let us know. And if you're on social media, we'd love for you to share what your favourite Scottish food is. And if you do, use the hashtag Scottish Eat Well Guide in your post so we can see. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, and hope that was of interest, and excited to hear what you think about the Scottish Eat Well Guide and how you use it. Thanks for joining me, Suzanne.
Thank you for having me, Laura. I've survived my first podcast.
Well done. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to this Food Connections podcast. Do check out the show notes for useful links related to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love it if you could give it a rating and leave a wee review. And please do spread the word and tell others about it. If you have any comments or suggestions for future guests, do get in touch. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.